This episode of the Crow Pod is brought to you by Rascals Creative. Daringly different entertainment concepts. If you need bespoke events, live entertainment, filming and production work, whatever you need, they got you covered. Go check out rascals-creative.co.uk. And, of course, also copelandstreetwear.co.uk. Go get all your Rangers gear from them. They got some really nice stuff over there. If you would like to support the Crow Pod like these people have, just head over to anchor.fm/crowpod and click on the support button. Supporters at the $4.99 level get one readout per month for themselves or their business or charity. If you go for the $9.99 level, like our buddies here at Rascal Creative and our good friend John O'Fraser has, then we will check you every single episode on the Crow Pod, and that goes out on both the Crow Pod Network and the Heart and Hand Network. So again, anchor.fm/crowpod, and just click on the support button. Crowpod, and joining me, Shane, of course, Mr. David Edgar. Hello, David.
Hello, everyone. Yes, nice to be here.
Yeah, a little late, but you know, it was worth it for the Kevin Clancy comedy hour. So
not our fault that we were late. If people are going to keep scheduling games, it's like the World Cup next year is scheduled to be on during my birthday. Did they even think about that?
Assholes.
When they scheduled this?
No. See, that's usually my concern. Now you get to share in my pain.
Equally, then it's a month where there's going to be like 3 football matches on a day in November. There's no reason for me to leave the house.
2022 is going to be the worst calendar year for football ever. I mean, it's awful.
Tomorrow, when I go to see Rangers play Stirling Albion, will be the first time I have left this house. I tell a lie, actually. I went for my booster on Sunday.
That's right.
My booster jag, and that's the only time I have actually been out with my house in this calendar year so far. So this will be my first excursion in 2022. I believe that bears should hibernate.
Well, Todd Van Allen's been out with a child shovel digging out cars in front of cameras. So
yes, that's right. for those of you who don't, hi, by the way.
Hi, Todd.
I don't know what your dump was like, Shane, but we got a second one yesterday, only about 5 to 10 centimeters. So that was okay.
That's all right.
But like the first one weighed in at about 40 centimeters, 45 on ours. So that took about 90 minutes to clear. Our premier, who, as we know from previous recordings, is a boob, was out digging out shoveling out cars.
With a child's length emergency shovel that you keep in the trunk of your vehicle
right now.
And with his PR chief of staff.
Yes, absolutely. There. It was her car. Right now on a sandy beach somewhere, there's a child crying because a fat white man stole her shovel and bucket. So if you follow, it's in my Twitter feed somewhere. There's a guy called TO Resident who is like-minded as myself on my opinions of our premier. Started posting images of Doug Ford shoveling out cars, and he said the number of likes will change the background of this. So it's like it starts out with just him regular, and then it's like him shoveling out the Swiss Alps, and then he makes it to Hoth and starts digging out AT-ATs. And the piece de resistance, I spoiler alert, skip over this if you want to go track it down yourself, skip ahead 15 seconds. It's him digging out the cocaine on Tony Montoya's desk and Scarface. It's fucking gorgeous.
I know you kept telling me the guy's sober. That had all the energy of
like 48 hour coke bender going on. I mean that was pure cocaine energy.
Honestly,
crushing through the system.
If it was his brother, I completely agree.
Well, if his, it was his brother, you would just assume it.
Dude, he was Chris Farley with a gavel. Like, that's all he was. Like, he was just so dumb and coked out. My parents do not share my political view, and I found this out one day. It was actually the day of Rob Ford's funeral, and they had his casket in the rotunda of City Hall. And we were I was out with my parents for breakfast, and they had it on like the CP24, who cover Doug Ford so gently. I've now taken to calling them CP20 Ford. And they
Yeah, but you did there. I see
years
it.
Years of Canadian comedy,
see,
buddy.
This is why Todd's a comedian, ladies and gentlemen. So.
Wait, it's coming. So my dad is looking up at the screen and goes, sees the coffin in the rotunda as people are going to pay their respects that day, and my dad's like, my God, what do you think of that? And I went, well, it's the first time he's been in City Hall before 9 a.m. So. Come now. Like, well, if you can't make fun of the dead, you know, they're not going to take a swing at you afterwards. It's fine.
I saw, speaking of motorists, I came across, it was like, I think it was Sunday. It was the first time I really ventured out, you know, post heart attack. So, and everything's good, by the way. I don't know. I had more tests. Everything's Yay. Good. But, you know, just a lot of pills and going in for random blood work and all that kind of stuff. But I'm okay. So we were driving up, we were going to the, you know, like the home repair store, whatever, you're like B&Q or whatever the hell it is. And, we're getting into the turn lane and I was like, oh, look out there. There's a drive shaft laying in the road. She's like, well, I was like, drive around, you know,
shit.
So whole drive, just dropped out the bottom of this vehicle. We take the corner and here's this large Chevrolet SUV pulled out, you know, not even on to the shoulder, because obviously it couldn't move anymore because there was no mechanism by which for the vehicle to move, and a middle-aged black man walking back toward it from the gas station with two paper bags, which I assume were just filled with alcohol. Which I just love that attitude of, you know what, fuck it, like, I can't get a DUI because the most important part of my vehicle is laying in the middle of the roadway.
Yes.
God.
I love that. That is the winter driving equivalent of the lighting the match, throwing it over your shoulder, walking slow-mo towards the camera, and then not even flinching as the explosion occurs behind you.
I felt, and the guy had walked to the service station. I mean, it was clear, it was about 15 below Celsius, because you know, we've reached that point of the winter where I think the high temperature over the next 3 weeks is actually 0 degrees. Looking forward to that.
This is what you get for counting your temperatures in Fahrenheit still.
If I do that, I can feel warm because that'll be a full, like,
That's what I mean. It's very American. It's like, yeah, but that's the bigger number. Well, yeah, but it's the same number, mate. But it's the bigger number. So we'll go with a bigger one because it looks more impressive. But, you know, we've been through this. I feel bad sometimes because I think sometimes I can sound a little bit judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I know.
But the thing is, I am incredibly judgmental, right? I am. And I'm a terrible, terrible snob and completely smug and self-satisfied. So, but I don't want, you know, people to know that. I want to hide it behind the sort of veneer of I care. One of the biggest challenges in my life is feigning interest and concern in others. And I like to think, you know.
Well, David, I will say, I think it's one of your greatest successes. Also.
Thank you. I'm pretty good. Hey, listen, if you do the right thing for the wrong reasons, that's still doing the right thing. And I'm gonna play that card hard at the pearly gate, right? I'm just gonna say, I did give money to charity. Like, I donated £100 to the Salvation Army at Christmas. Now, had I made a bargain with God at 4 o'clock that afternoon that if Celtic dropped points at St Mirren, I would do that? Yes. But the Salvation Army still got £100. So it doesn't really matter. But
I believe that's what Kate Bush was singing about in that song. Yeah.
Yeah, running up that bell. Up that bell. Yeah, I've been doing that a few times. But no, look, this week I was triggered. Triggered, lads. I was triggered. Uh-oh.
And I'm about to
vent, and I'm about to throw a friend under the bus. I say friend, more an acquaintance. He likes me a lot more. I like him. But my friend Cammy is away to Las Vegas on holly bags.
He's been back for a week, and he's already on holiday.
I know. Tell me about it. Oh, you're making a crack. When can I come back? Let him back. Fucks off on holiday. But he's away to Las Vegas. And, you know, it's fine. He's put a tough time of it. So he says, I say, oh, you and Melissa going, that's his wife, are you going to Vegas? That'll be nice. You know, January especially, get away, bit of sunshine. And he goes, yeah. He says, it's her younger sister's 30th as well. So she's coming as well. And I'm like, okay, that's a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But hey. You know, it's a nice thing to do. Nice thing to do.
Sure.
It wouldn't be me, but, you know, fair enough. So he goes there and, you know, I'm like, good luck. I even give him some money, you know, to have a meal on me. There you go. Go enjoy yourself. Brilliant. Right. So next thing. He sends a thing to the group chat. He's like, look at this. You're all going to hate this. Right, before the picture arrives, you're all going to hate this.
Okay, now, so already it's being set up nice.
So already I'm like, right. And I can't believe that this annoyed me as much as it did, but I will explain why it did. Him and his missus are both wearing T-shirts, identical T-shirts.
Okay.
That they've had made up.
No. Right?
With loads of pictures of her sister. For her 30th, right? And on the back of these T-shirts, they had a picture of her on the toilet. Thank you, right? So I went, the reaction from the boys, beautiful. I mean, can I just give a shout out to young Stuart McCall, who said, wow, I thought the Daily Record thing was the worst thing you would do. And I was like, I was properly raging. He's like, why are you so upset? And I was like, you're in your 40s. Yeah. You're in your 40s, for fuck's sake. And I was like, you know, why didn't you just get a T-shirt that says, tell me that I've worked in a call center without telling you that I've worked in a call center. God, I'm actually getting creeped at just talking about it. The organized fun element of it. The wackiness. I said, look, this is kind of forgivable if you tell me you're not going out with it on. And he's like, no, we're going out with it on.
Whoop.
And I was like, you know that feeling when somebody scrapes a chair along the ground and it makes a really high pitch?
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now, even just discussing it.
Nine cats running up a chalkboard.
My thing is just like a normal pencil, just like a regular. Oh God, I hate that fucking noise. But you're going to Vegas. Why are you playing? You like that's the whole point of going to Vegas is that you just go and do shit randomly, and you know, like you drink Ciroc vodka off the ground and like do methamphetamine in an alley somewhere or fucking whatever. Like, oh my God.
To be fair. If there's, first of all, I'm going to say this as a proviso. There's no place on the planet for the uniform stag do party, whatever. We don't need, you know, unless you're a member of Devo or the Hives, you don't need to wear a uniform. Okay. No, like that, no. Forget that.
No. McDonald's that employees and amusing Swedish novelty rock acts.
Correct. Interpol as well. They all wear. So I'm digressing. So anyway, if you're going to do that, the place you do that is Vegas. No other place, because everything is just surreal anyway, right? It's the land of who gives a goddamn shit. So just, yes, the venue. Well, and here's the other thing. If you do that, if you congregate all those people there to do that, if a bomb goes off, problem solved.
Here's the thing, right? I'm very British, right? I mean, I am very British, and I accept this as I've got older. My natural reaction to anything like that is just no. I can't do that.
Head shaking, looking down.
Yeah,
my feet.
No. British people are born with an overload of embarrassment, right? An overload. And I will accept it to a certain degree when you're in your 20s, right? I will. Teenage and 20s, I will. But he's in his 40s, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't. I honestly, I can't even. And he's like, what do you think? I said, I can't tell you because, you know, you're a very sensitive man and it'll hurt you a great deal. Yeah. And I'll say things that you'll regret. So I'm just going to have to just put the phone down and walk away. Mm-hmm. But it's that, as I say, it's that sort of wacky, organized fun. You know, look at the me a question about this T-shirt. Oh, God. Oh,
yeah. So much.
My question about that T-shirt is fucking why? Why?
Yeah.
Get out of my bar and don't come near this primary school.
Mm-hmm. If we're talking about T-shirt text, I do want to close on close the thing, but like I've got I'll just do this. I got friends of mine.
Todd,
like when
who the fuck are you to tell me that we're closing my subject?
No. I know. Wrong choice of words. And here we go. This is one of the write ups on the show. I can only apologize.
Hey.
This is the drinking game of this show, right? It's stories of like Shane getting hit with an anvil. That's a sip. Me apologizing. That's a sip. David saying we saved your ass in World War II. That's a sip. So, my favorite thing to do is when friends of mine on Facebook, friends in quotes, will. Or Instagram, whatever, they post the shirts that they're wearing on their night out. And it's usually like the ones that are like the stagettes. The stagettes are hen parties or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
When they take us, just me and my friends celebrating our future nups, you know, and then click, you know, hashtag living the dream, hashtag getting drunk, whatever. I will always put underneath them thoughts and prayers to the comedians' lives they're about to ruin tonight. Because anytime I walk into a showroom and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a good night. Like you can hear the buzz of the crowd already. It's like, they're not too drunk, but there is chat. You don't want to come into a silent room. When there's chat, there's like, okay, they're buzzing, they're excited, they're kind of fun. And then you see a group of five women all dressed in the same colored shirt with penis tiaras. You go, there's the night. We're done.
And you just go, yeah. Why can't I be on this bill with Steve Hostetter? You know?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I remember years ago, and this is like fundamentally, and it's one of those interesting things when you're quite a different person from a friend of yours, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember, God, 20 years ago, Carrie said to me, we're doing a sub crawl, Subway in Glasgow. Subway in Glasgow is okay. Tiny. You guys wouldn't believe it.
Don't you just go around a loop once?
It's a loop. And it takes, and it genuinely takes about half 15, an hour.
Okay, half hour. Right.
Yeah, 15 minutes both ways.
That is kind of like... There's a subway station in Toronto. I think it's Queen Station. It's my favorite one because there's a sign that says all trains this way. Well, there's one that goes north and one that goes south.
That's the Glasgow subway. It's 50 minutes one way, 50 minutes the other. Tiny little thing, right? But you know, useful for what it was built for. So he said we're doing a sub crawl. Fairly straightforward idea. You know, you get off at every bar and you go and have a drink. And I said, oh, okay, right. And he's like, yeah, there's loads of people coming. This is back in the early days of followfollow.com. So he said, there's quite a few guys coming from FF. I was like, ah, cool, right. And he said, and it's fancy dress. I said, I'm not coming. And he goes, and I said, no, I'm not, Cammy.
Yeah,
and he's
no,
like, no.
This is
he said, I've told people you're going. I said, I don't give a fuck if you've told them I've been Roger in the Duke of York with a fucking leak. I'm not going. Right. And he's like, he said, really, you're not going to go. He says, just hire a costume. I was like, no. And he's like, well, just even wear like a Rangers top and say you're a Rangers player. No. And he's like, why not? I said, because I said, I can't be fucking doing with that, man. You know, like turning up and there's some cunt dressed as Banana Man and I'm having to fucking, you know, sit there and pretend that I don't want to die right there. I said, people will be looking at us with their eyes. And he's like, wait, you care what strangers think of you? I says, yeah, I care that strangers think he's one of them that's dressed up. And it wasn't even for a reason. It was just, you know, we're going this up. And I hate that forced fun, right? And yes, I've got, you know, yes, he's one of them. And I've got a few friends that are very into that, that it's like they don't trust that you'll just go out and have fun. So there's going to be all these, and it comes from a good place. It comes from the heart, right? But they don't trust that you're just going to have a fun night. So before it, they over plan, right? And they're like, right, and then we'll do this, and then we'll do that. And like, or, right, and bear with me, we could just meet up and see where the night goes. You know, and that, you know, we, you know, the world is our oyster type thing, right? You might have a rough plan that we might eat or, you know, whatever, but, you know, roughly, let's just say where the night goes. I can't do that. Right, we'll go there. We'll all dress up as nuns, and then we'll do this, and then we'll drink a yard of ale, and then we'll get a bowl of Jägermeister and shove it up our arse. And no, okay.
You know, I mean, all those years ago when I was still drinking. But I mean, yeah, you know, there's only like three pubs in town I drink at. Right, one of them I work at. So it's like people would always, you know, like, oh, we're going to do, like you're saying, all right, we're going to have dinner at this place at 7, blah, blah. It was like, all right, well, I'll see you at Mary's at 11:30, whenever the fuck you get there. Because that's where I'm going to be. Like, not doing there's this shit.
There's something really special. And look, I lived in Glasgow and I would go to kind of different pubs, right? But there is something special about your pub, your local, your bar, that you walk in and you say to the barman, hi, Steve. And he goes, usual, and you go yes, right? Yep. And there is something really warm and comforting and nice and great about that.
You just described tall boys in Toronto to a T, right down to the bartender named Steve.
There you go. Bartenders are all
hey Todd, and then he holds up a steam whistle glass. Thank you.
Mine's called Jack. So
Yeah, but there you go. But you walk into a bar. Mine's was Grolsch, right, back in the day. Grolsch. Which was fantastic for making you forget your troubles after about 15 minutes. And then, unfortunately, waking up with a lot more troubles, which you still could remember. But, you know, you definitely got it.
I can walk into Mary's. Jack works 6 nights a week at Mary's. I walk into Mary's. PBR,
that sounds,
shot of whiskey. That's it.
Shane, that is the most fucking Billy Joel start to a song I've ever had. Steve works 6 nights a week in the bar. I mean, it was just
I'm moving out.
No, I can actually see that. Exactly. I mean, you can actually see Billy Joel at the piano doing that one, man. That was fantastic. But it's just, I'm not a fun person, right? I mean, I am. Mm-hmm. And Cammy still regrets to this day that I don't drink and take other stuff, because when you went out with me back then, it was like, you know, a fucking hurricane.
Everybody's like, it's weird not having you, you know. I'm like, yes, I'm aware. But
yeah, tell me about it.
Speaking of Billy Joel, this is my impression of Billy Joel. Sir, will you get your cock out of your G&T? That's not what I meant.
I unironically love Billy Joel because my mum loves him. And
Glass House is still one of my favorite albums.
He has a wee bit underrated because people go to the kind of later shitey stuff and forget the cool, genuinely brilliant. Like Billy the Kid is a brilliant song, and Angry Young Man, genuinely fantastic songs. But we went to see Billy Joel in Glasgow. Years and years ago, and there was a British television star, and people in the UK all remember this, called Roy Walker, who's a Northern Irish game show host, and he was sitting 2 rows behind me, and I thought, I've got a better seat than TV's Roy Walker. I was so pleased with that. And in terms of how complicated my life was at that time, the tickets were a wedding present for me and my first wife from my second wife, my current wife. Yeah, it was a complex situation. But You should always have your, you should always have an iron in the fire. You know, something might happen to Sally. Jesus, let's face it. You know, given her, her regular ability to chuck herself
fall down a hole in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you should always have an iron in the fire. But for you, Shane, I was talking to a friend. We've got a friend Gail. Comedy. Comedy feminazi, right? she's a lovely person, right? But you know that way that you know you're going to get a bite off someone if you, right? Casual sexism drives them nuts.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And I'm genuinely not bad for casual sexism because I grew up.
That bothers a lot of chicks out there, I've noticed.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Typical wee buck. Typical ladies, right? We all know. Maybe their time.
Women.
Right? Yeah. You know.
You know, the moody skirts. There we go.
Yeah, you know, but she. Listen, it's well known that if they didn't have vaginas, we'd throw sticks at them. But she,
David, you know, David, I've seen that on a website.
We try to throw sticks in them.
Well, that's offside. I'm a Presbyterian, mate. I make that's love with a light.
Offside.
Not
Tuesday, it wasn't.
Yeah, I make love with a light off, and I say to the wife, right, brace yourself. It'll all be over soon. And we make love in a startling.
Socks on, lights off, let's go.
Oh, yeah. We make love in a startling Protestant fashion. Yeah. And then afterwards, after the cleanup and 2 days of shame when we don't look at each other in the eye, we begin to start conversing again. But she will bite at it, right? And the thing that I've noticed...
Are we talking about the sex or the...
No, yeah. No. My friend will bite at it. She will bite at little things, right? And the one I absolutely love is when I tell her to man up.
Yeah, beautiful.
She hates that with a passion. So I won't do it, because see, if you overuse something like that, it loses its sting. Yeah. It loses its sting. Yeah, you have to pick your moments. You have to pick when they're slightly annoyed by something, right? Just slightly annoyed, because if they're too annoyed, you don't want to hurt their feelings. But just slightly annoyed, right? And then you wait, and you sort of feign sympathy for a bit, and then you just go, oh, for fuck's sake, man up. It's tremendous. Similarly, saying to a guy that prides himself on how tough and manly he is, did you rip your knickers there, mate? I think is a fabulous trigger.
We had this workplace soccer team, and we were horrible. Like, our away goals were in 3 digits. Like, it was just, it was massively bad.
It was an 8-week league too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we were horrible. We were just playing these teams that were just like really taking it seriously. And I was up, I was playing center half, and I was up against this forward they had who was like 6'4", just lording it over me, just like making fun of our back line the whole bit, as they want to do, but whatever. So I really didn't have any sort of way to defend against him except a little bit of comedy. And he had this long flowing black hair, and he was of some European descent that had misogyny run through it, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And so every time I would collide with him, we'd go for a ball or whatever, I would just turn to him and go, pardon me, ma'am. And then on my way. And every time I did it, and he just got more and more spun up to the point where his captain in the midfield yelled at me, going, will you stop listening to him? You're fucking off your game. He goes, but he keeps calling me lady. And it's like, and then I just went, I am so sorry, ma'am. And it's like, you know, Canadian apology and winding him up. And we actually drew that game. It was nice.
How insecure do you have to be about your manhood that winds you up?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And maybe it's because, like, I grew up in a very female dominated family, right? So I've never had a hey, shut up, daddy's talking, right? So, and listen, you don't, I'm sure none of you need to ask if that was the bitch that was barking.
I was already writing the Sun headline right now.
Yeah, she's standing up for her gender, to be fair. I've thrown her out. It's just me and Bertie now. But she
little hind legs, like a little Rory Calhoun.
Like a little Rory Calhoun. I can't hurt him, but I can kill you. So, you know, I've always been pretty got on well with women and stuff, but I've always been quite camp, right? I am, right? You know, it's you know, when you grow up in a fucking ex mining town and you like, you know, Lou Reed and poetry, you stand out a wee bit, right? So yeah, I've always been quite cool with it. And I remember once, funny enough, Todd, playing football.
Okay.
And a guy did that to me, and he was like, you know, and the homophobic insults and stuff. Yeah, and right, I remember just standing up and going like that, "You've never made your wife come, have you, mate?" And he punched me.
Yep.
And he fucking punched me. but I maintain I was correct in that one. Speaking of which, I suppose we've got to deal with it. You mentioned it at the start of the show. We should probably talk about that shit show on Tuesday.
Fuck. You know, hold on. Let's get this one out of the way here quick. Support the CrowPod. Click on the link in the show notes to support it, or go to the site there. It's anchor.fm/CrowPod. Of course, like our buddy John O'Fraser with Rascals Creative, rascals-creative.co.uk. Our friends over at Copeland Streetwear, our friends at The Famous. And, you know, this week, let's go with Neil Wells, who's the $4.99 supporter. Who, of course, gave his space over to the Sons of Struth Youth Sides. So, there you go. So, I think everybody knows how to find our buddy Craig Houston. So,
yeah. There you go. Who was that bastard that made you talk about Queen?
Oh, God. What? Wasn't that Alan? That was our buddy. That was our buddy.
I haven't forgotten that.
Oh, and also, I want to thank our other buddy, Alan, who correctly identified that my there was a watch battery out of sorts in my laptop computer. Nice. Because apparently laptop computers have a watch battery that they also run on. So thank you for diagnosing that via a 20-second video over the internet. And after 20 minutes, my laptop is functioning perfectly again. So beautiful. There we go. We have great listeners.
Uh-huh. Great listeners. Do.
If only the competency of Scottish football officiating was up to the same snuff and par that our listeners are, everything would be so much better. You know, you get a match with like John Beaton, right? And you're like, fuck me, God, how could it be any worse?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you forget Kevin Clancy exists.
Right.
Until you draw him up.
My thing is, I always forget Scott Brown plays for them until he fucking Scott Browns.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh shit, right.
What was it now? Like 3.5 years since he's beat us. So, yeah. But you know, at least he's celebrating draws.
Can I give you a stat? Right?
Yeah,
people
love it. Of course.
That think that we come to these shows unprepared. Mm-hmm. But here, I'm going to start you right up. Tuesday night, Rangers attempted tackles 20.
Yep.
Okay. Over the 90 minutes.
I think I know where this one's going.
Free kicks. Rangers free kicks awarded against 21.
Yeah. Yep.
There were more fouls given than we made tackles in that match. Aberdeen, Aberdeen, 30 tackles attempted. Mm-hmm. Fouls given, 7.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, I will get, you know, Clancy really trying to branch out, and especially with the Rugby World Cup coming up there, whatever mm-hmm. the hell it is, sixes, yep. I don't know, allowing Aberdeen to just literally play rugby out there on the park. It was
so
that new strategy of shoving players offside by about 8 right. minutes. That was brilliant.
It was kind of like it was a combination of rugby and a community theater performance of On the Waterfront. Like it was just so fucking egregious.
Well, you know, we're getting to the kind of tail end of the NFL, and maybe they were influenced by that. Yeah. Also, UFC.
Johnny Hayes, didn't Johnny Hayes spinning spend some back time elbow? Over here? So
repeated spin. I mean, if he'd hit that in the UFC middleweight, that would have been a pretty decent move. The thing, if you want to know that, right, you know, we always tend, I think, to go that referees are bad rather than cheats. But here's one for you, right? Bonner gets elbowed twice in the face, right in front of the linesman, who ignores him. Bonner then turns to the referee and says, "I've been elbowed." The ref says, "Get up." And he touches his nose and he goes, "I'm bleeding. Can I get treatment?" And the ref says, "No, get up." Right? So he gets up.
Sakes.
So he gets up, right? And he says, "But I'm bleeding." And the ref says, "Play on." Yep. Scott Brown, 60 seconds later, watch this happens, folks. Scott Brown says he's bleeding, he needs to go off for treatment. The referee sends him off to get treatment while Rangers are defending a free kick, thus meaning we're down to 9 men to defend the free kick.
The only thing I can take grievance with from our point of view, from the officiating point of view, not in terms of how we played or the substitutions or anything else, because we were dog shit.
Yeah.
But Ryan Kent does not need to go after that ball at all and give Clancy a decision to make, because you have to know what is going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be aware of that. He will book you.
It's a sad testament that needs to be one of the filters through which you put your play through.
It's true. Yeah. That's 100% accurate. But that's the reality of the situation. You know what's going to happen.
You're both right. You're both right. Yeah. And as a sad reflection on it, and the thing is, people have said, and I do understand this, and you know, the club have said, and Gio said, well, we need VAR. VAR wouldn't have helped the other night, because VAR doesn't review free kicks, which he was given,
or yellow cards players, on the day,
or yellow cards on the day. So it wouldn't have helped. And
it wouldn't help with the fact that the only reason Morales is there to handle is because Barisic is shoved into the fourth row.
It's the same, you know, crap that we're used to. And look, like I say, I genuinely, right, I do, because I know people who referee, right, and they're in the refereeing community in terms of, you know, like Stevie and David Marshall and stuff, and they will tell you, look, people don't put themselves through it. They're going out on a Saturday morning, you know, to be shouted at by, you know,
for 30 quid or whatever.
They don't do that for years and years because they've got this plan to get it up Rangers. So I tend to believe that they are just bad referees, right?
Yeah.
But he really, really tests that theory, because it's so obvious. The stats don't lie about him. You're 400% more likely to be sent off if you're a Rangers player in a Kevin Clancy game than a Celtic player. Yeah. And it's just, we have to put up with this guy, and it's like you're scarring these games, you know, because that game the other night was completely ruined because he was given a free kick every 30 seconds. Anytime an Abilene player felt a tackle came in, they dropped to the ground because they wanted to put the ball into the box. And a decent referee says, look, I can see what you're doing, stop it. And they would stop it.
Well, or conversely, anytime one of our players was shoved to the ground, Aberdeen were given a free kick.
But you got in his way.
Yeah. But we are Rangers fans, and we don't, you know, we're not trying. This is a bad referee, and if we'd won 4-0, we would still be a terrible referee who shouldn't be allowed to referee. But we were dog shit, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't. I mean, maybe the Lundstrom sub was, again, hopefully to show up for 30 minutes to get him in the shot window. I don't fucking know. I don't want to see him on the team sheet. He's played 10 minutes against Dunfermline where he looked okay.
I think you're going to see him on the team sheet tomorrow.
Fucking dire.
I think you're going to see him on the team sheet.
Well, it's Sterling Albion, so hopefully he can actually fucking do something. But God damn it, he's bad. And the sub doesn't... You know, me and you were talking about this morning. No, that makes no sense, because you're moving Haji into a position that, I mean, he's not a right wing, right? Stop doing this. He's not quick enough. That's not a position for him at all. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to take right off, you've got Sakala right there who comes on 20 seconds after they fucking tie the game up. You know, I mean, if you're going to make that sub anyway, make it then. Don't do that shit.
I think it's the thing about, you know, and it frustrates Rangers fans. It's treating Aberdeen like the Real Madrid, right? And I think it's this thing that coaches, Gerrard was bad for it as well. And I do understand that. It's because, you know, when you're in Scotland, you want to say, well, these are some of our big games, you know, Aberdeen and Hearts and Hibs. And you're like, no, yeah, but it is slightly different.
Yeah, but they're Rangers. Still
tight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's also, I mean, you know, how many matches in Scotland has Gio watched in the past, like, 19 years, right? I mean, you know, back then, yes, the second tier of teams actually had some players who weren't complete dog shite, right?
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore. Like, you know, they've got a washed up captain who fucked off, subbed himself off in his last Old Firm because he was fucking horrified at what the hell was going on. You know, this is not a good team. There's no good components to the team. It's just a bunch of assholes who who roll around on the deck and, again, try to play rugby the whole time. Like, that's not a good side. It's not a well-put-together side. And they've been playing horribly coming into that match.
Yep. On the plus side, though, at least we found out that, you know, we all react well to a setback. My God, man. Oh, man. You know, is there a competition on to see who can make the most extreme reaction that I haven't been informed of? Because sometimes, yeah, I'll go onto a message board and I'll be like, okay. You know, one guy sent me an email saying, you know, you need to ask the referee about the... a lot of sectarian names, referee. And I'm like, you know, mate, funnily enough, I'm not going to ask Giovanni Van Bronckhorst that. For two reasons. One, I'd get arrested. Mm-hmm. Two, he'd probably get arrested for being an accessory, such was the violence of the intemperate language. And three, no.
I like the one guy, too, you know, because we had the big debut from Jimmy Sands there. Yeah. And there was the one guy on Twitter that everybody either piled in on or agreed, whatever. I mean, it was straight 50-50, but he's never a Rangers player. And it's like, okay, Haji outside of the goal was an empty shirt and booked after like 38 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Kamara, I have no idea where the fuck he went during the winter break, but he needs to come back. Mm-hmm. And then Lundstrom got shuttled in next to him. Like, I don't know what he was supposed to do, given the fact that the other two people in midfield with him for the whole 90 minutes weren't doing a goddamn thing.
You cannot, even if he'd been absolutely horrible, you cannot judge a player after 90 minutes, especially in that environment. We'll see where he is. You know, we've got Livingston at home. But it's actually an interesting thing.
Didn't Livingston win?
They're doing very well. Martin is doing really well. Pretty good coach. But it's
you know, if they had a real pitch, I could almost actually like them.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
See, in a slightly different, obviously different, completely different level, unfortunately. But it's an interesting thing about Manchester City, who you recall paid $100 million for Jack Grealish in the summer, and he hasn't hit the heights, right? And he's not even been a regular starter or whatever. And someone asked Pep Guardiola about that. He says, nah, it takes a while to fit in, you know, here to learn the way we do stuff, and he kind of named a few players at City. Sterling was one, Bernardo Silva was another. He says it takes him a while, so we'll give them time. And I was like, you know, he might be onto something here.
Who in their first day of work, Sean? Yeah. Ever in any job that you've ever had.
When you don't know where the toilets are, it's a bit much to expect people.
It's the football manager conundrum too. Like, you know, you sign a player in January in the game, you throw him in, you score three goals. You're like, oh, all right, you know, this is how it works. No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. You
can't judge anyone on their first day, especially if it's Aberdeen away.
Whatever. He made tackles. He made the interception. I mean, he was the only one in midfield actually making any interceptions.
Obviously, though, me and the listeners can judge him because he's American.
And please rain down upon me.
Well, it's your fault. We're going to blame you if he doesn't work it. But there was a couple of nice passes and stuff. And you'll be able to see what he brings to the game.
I mean, the two fouls he gave away were both actually pretty smart because they were on the break. He didn't get the hook. You know?
The other thing about it is, as well, much as, you know, we don't like to, it's not a disaster because
still 4 points clear.
Yeah, that run of games, we were 4 points clear the day that Giovanni took over, his first day, right? And we looked at that list of fixtures, and there isn't one of us who wouldn't have said, if we're going to Parkhead, 4 points. Now, if we don't win our next two matches, fine, because it's Livingston at home and Ross County away. And then that's a legit criticism. Yeah. But if we win those two matches, we go to Parkhead, a minimum, because it could be more, but a minimum of 4 points clear still, I think we would all have taken that.
Yeah, and I'm you know, big man, little man up front, Andy Firth and Jimmy Bell. That's what we're going into Parkhead with.
Aren't they both little men? You know, the one drawback in that plan is that I think that unfortunately they are both little men, so there's gonna be a
we'd be in without a manager, our captain, our center back, half our midfield, so
Yeah, yeah, Ryan Kent on one leg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
As I said, so, I think we'll be right. You know, I had some, for people who don't follow me on Twitter, I had some heartbreaking football news come late yesterday afternoon. I think, David, you saw this. But after 2,599 matches with me in my Football Manager 2014 save, Lewis McLeod retired from Rangers after nearly five decades of service to the club. And it's just, it's left an absolute hole.
Didn't you talk him out of it?
It didn't even give me the option. Oh, he was done. He was done.
He's at that stage and he's like, did you do the thing which you're supposed to do? And I would be disappointed if you didn't, where you did an interview with yourself in which you spoke about Lewis's...
You go to the fridge, you get a Pepsi.
And you spoke about Lewis's and you say he's been such a good servant to the club. And in your head, you're giving him a job at the club, which doesn't exist in the game.
But you are
giving him... a job at the club. You're going to make him a scout or something.
He's got the Jim Hanna.
You're going to give him a job. It's like that bit in The Commitments where he's talking to himself in the bath and his dad says, what are you doing? He's like, fuck up, I'm interviewing. I'm on Wogan. that's absolutely... That's why I would play Champ Manager without music on, because I wanted it to be quiet so I could collect my thoughts for each post-match interview. Yeah.
Well, there was some other... I didn't notice it until like it came up on the news headlines, like on the rotation thing, when the game's loading. Mm-hmm. But also retiring on the same day as the Director of Youth Development at Dundee United was Fraser Aird. So,
no way.
Yeah.
That's up there with the Thomas Jefferson and John Adams dying on the same day.
Honestly, it surpasses it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's that level of coincidences to have that. It's a sad day in Shane's Football Manager save. I admire you, though, because I can't play beyond about 10 seasons in any Football Manager game, because when it becomes all regens, I'm done.
I'm waiting until the last real player retires as a coach or scout or fucking whatever. I've got a couple of their scouts, and those usually last into their 70s. So,
right.
But McLeod was 61, so there's a couple in that same age range are still scouts. So, all gone, I'm gone.
See, in the 80s, I always liked, right, initially when, Football Manager, it was called, funnily enough, when it first came out, and it had all the real teams, and some of the real players. It didn't have a huge database, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But football clubs quite quickly went, hang on a minute, you can't use our names, you owe us money for this, you're not allowed to do that. And then we had a wee spell at the late 80s, early 90s, where you would buy a game and they'd put a lot of effort into the names. You could go Everpool, or Liverton. Right. You could go Blueburn Rovers, right. And it was like, lads, come on, right? I mean, come on, Everpool and Liverton.
What was it like playing the Grangers every week?
I mean, it was just, like you were up all night with that one, weren't you, lads? I mean, come on.
I just signed Ronaldo. Nothing takes me out of a game more than that shit. It's like
Roberto Raggio, would that be?
Yeah. Like even in movies, I know I need to watch Any Given Sunday. I know I can't watch it because the fact that the teams aren't the team names drives me fucking mental. Like
they're made up shit like Washington Football Team, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That always surprised me, actually, and because we just don't do that over here at all. Like, you'll never ever get in sitcoms or whatever, it's never in soap operas over here, long running ones, there's never like a football team mentioned, so, probably because then it'll put people off watching, which to a tragic extent it would, if I was watching a show and there was a Celtic fan in it, gone, done, not interested. And over there, I was always, stunned when I found out that the Cleveland Indians were actually a real side. Right. Like, wow.
Yeah. You know,
well, they're not anymore, but...
No.
Yeah, but you
they're just, the Cleveland baseball team.
Yeah.
But no, the Cleveland Guardians. Yeah. Come on.
Yes, that's right. It's Guardians. Even better.
You just would not get that over here, even to this day. It's just not a done thing. But sport is such a difficult thing to do in movies. I think comedies you can do it, but see when you're trying to be serious about it, it doesn't work. With the exception, of course, of Escape to Victory,
right?
Which is well known as
or Victory, as it's known over here.
Yes.
My favorite thing, speaking of the Cleveland Indians and now the Guardians, is the public outrage that went, how dare they call the Guardians? That has nothing to do with Cleveland. And like everyone in Cleveland goes, actually, it's the statues that guard the canal. So
you. It's a big ass bridge.
Yeah.
But then didn't the Cuyahoga River once get so polluted that it went on fire?
Yeah, no, it lit on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what they should have called it.
And Lake Erie has such god awful, especially on that side. The algae blooms are so bad during the summer. You can't be in the water. It's right. Yeah. You get all the waterborne diseases. Mm-hmm. So
What about I mean, I think the Cleveland River Fire is a great name.
I was just about to say that.
That's a great name for about the River Fires.
But then it's going to make it sound like an Irish dance troupe. don't need that.
True. I knew somebody that did that. That was a dancer for that. She used to work at my ex. What? Her name was Roisin. Don't be fooled by the name. I think she might have been a Celtic fan.
You talked to her?
She was good looking, so that breaks my. I'll send you a photo. She but she had been a dancer in the River Dance show. So of course, at what place you go, right, go and show us a bit of it then, right? And it is amazing because it's like she didn't take kindly because she did it and everybody's clapping and I went, I'm not all that impressed. She's like, why not? And I was like, well, it's kind of lazy. She's like, what do you mean kind of lazy? You've got to be really fit. And I was like, you only need to use half your body. Like, what do you mean? I said, well, John Travolta, he has to use his arms and his shoulders and his neck. You're just jumping up and down, really. Essentially pogoing. a couple of kicks and Sammy Davis Jr. with the old tapping and tapper.
The arms are still swinging
them arms. I'm sorry, it's just a bit easy.
There was one more Scotch football item I wanted to get to here, and I'd raise this. Come on, we're coming back from the winter break, right? You got Rangers, Aberdeen. Now, the SPFL had sold the U.S. broadcasting rights to Paramount CBS, correct?
Okay.
When Paramount Plus was launched, one of the big benefits was if you subscribe, you get the CBS Sports package, right? What? Somewhere in the middle of all this, they changed it. So the only two scheduled broadcasts between now and the old firm in the U.S., if you don't have like cable or satellite, which a lot of people don't these days, correct? Mm-hmm. Right? We're all cord cutting. We've got Greg Morton versus Raith Rovers coming up on January 28th. A big 1:35 in the afternoon kickoff there. People are going to be taking a late lunch break for the Imre's Ton versus the Kirkcaldy Galacticos there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Edinburgh Derby. Coming up on February 1st. That's it.
Those are the
only two matches on the docket.
Right.
For the SPFL's grand American television contract. So, well done. It's beautiful. Yeah, we found out right before kickoff that the match on Tuesday was actually on CBS Sports. But you have to have, like, really expensive sports packages with either your cable or satellite provider in order to have that.
So. Here's the thing. Like, I love I love being able to see it on Rangers TV if for no other reason. And the sad part is Tom Miller has toned it down considerably.
Like when we were in the third division, he did not give up.
Oh, no. My favorite was 1960s chart trivia. song, and he's throwing it to his color guy, whoever's in the booth with him.
Andy Little's like, I wasn't fucking.
1967, it's the Four Tops, Andy. Oh, okay. I feel bad that I didn't do this, and I might for the Ottawa Club. I wanted to create a Tom Miller bingo card for the games. So like when we're slogging it out and we're playing like Livingston away. And we're playing on the plastic pitch and it's horrible. Like just like all kinds of squares, like covered every blade of grass. Check. Velcro boots. Check. Gets player's name wrong. Check. You know, all those things.
I think it is difficult when you're talking, you know, nonstop for 9 minutes. You're gonna make errors. And
absolutely.
I remember talking to a couple of people who worked for Rangers, right? And they were saying it's such a high pressurized environment. And I explained to them the reason for that, because I remember a few months ago now, Rangers sent out an email and there was something on it that was incorrect, right? An address or something that was incorrect. And people lost their shit, as people are wanting to do. So it's all over Twitter. And a supporter got in touch with me and he said, how can this happen? And I said, do you have a job? And he goes, yes. I said, do you ever make mistakes there? And he's like, well, yeah. I said, does anybody else? He's like, well, yeah. I said, well, there you go then. Right. This happens. But I said, that's the problem. Your baseline is everyone not only demands but expects perfection as your baseline.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Now, the great thing about working for Rangers is you get days like when we won the league and, you know, it's amazing and a lot of glamour. That's the price you pay for it, because it's not going to change. That will always be the case. But just sometimes I do think it's because people say to me, oh, you're so easy on certain people. And I'm like, well, I'm not easy. If they make a glaring, hideous error, fine. But I sort of accept that human beings do occasionally make mistakes and do say the wrong thing or whatever. Now, there's a difference between getting a name wrong and then, you know, to say the wrong thing, or, you know, coming out and, you know, saying, well, I'd set fire to any, you know, scoops up. They'll say the wrong thing and they'll say the wrong thing, basically. Yeah. But I think that sometimes it's just that in modern, you know, especially on the internet, we forget that humans are human.
Right.
And, you know, somebody said to me months ago now, I sent you an email and you didn't reply. I was like, yeah, sorry, I missed it. And he was like, well, you know, I pay my subscription and stuff. And I was like, yeah, mate, but I'm still one bloke, you know, and frankly, you know, will happen.
My favorite thing is, like, there's so many points of contact now on the internet that, like, I'll see a notification come out and go, yeah, I'll get it later. And I'm like, okay, where the fuck is it? Is it WhatsApp, Instagram?
Was it a DM on Facebook? Was it a DM on Twitter? Yeah. Was it a tweet? Was it an email?
I have lost so many of those. Here's the thing, and I read this earlier on in my kind of tech career. I got into this inbox zero mindset where you're trying to declutter your workspace, right? And being a procrastinator when I need to write shit, boy, oh boy, I have a story that is due on Saturday. I have got a clean fucking house, folks. I am doing everything I can not to write this goddamn shit. But
could you come round to mine? Because Sally Sally knocked my Rangers strips off the, she broke the, you know, the kind of hanger thing.
Oh, that's because he had 400 hanging on one fucking rack.
Well, exactly. Jesus, like, so it did prop me.
Vibranium couldn't hold up the number of fucking shirts you have on that goddamn thing.
It did prompt me to build a third one, right? But unfortunately, they're all out of order. I have tried four times in the last 2 months to go up and sort them into order. Lasted about 4 minutes and went, oh, fuck this. And I now have about 20 that aren't on hangers now, like new ones, that are just sitting in a pile next to it. And I keep hearing about, you know, that people are unemployed. I'd pay someone to come round and do that. If anyone is in the Ayrshire area and wants to, I'll pay you, you know, 50 quid. You'll be done in about 20 minutes, but just come round and fucking sort this for me and hang them all up.
Chronologically, is that how you do them?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not a savage. What madness is this?
It's like, I mean, they're
sorted by signing of marquee player.
Mine are chronological, but by color also. So like all the blue ones are together, white ones are together, right? You know, right. Like whatever. So
right.
Yeah.
There is a knack to sorting, and like for me, I am always like, okay, albums are alphabetical by artist, except for the genre of electronic and dance. So I move that over to a separate thing.
Yeah.
Movies are alphabetical by title, except for the Star Wars, the James Bonds, and all the Coens. Those are all moved over to the other side. Yeah.
I'm gonna use a very old one, but it's an absolute cracker. That I saw, I think it was on absolutely a TV program years ago. Guy comes to the door, you know, canvassing, and he says, the boy opens the door and he says, hello, sir, are you having a nice day? And he says, I've just been sorting my record collection into alphabetical order. I didn't know what to do with the ones that started with the. So I thought I'd just ignore them until I got to the. He said, so I just threw them out.
That also reminds me of a guy coming to the door, canvasser comes to the door, opens the door opens, and there's a 10-year-old boy standing in front of him. He's got a tumbler of whiskey. He's in a house coat. He's got a cigarette going, and there's porno on the TV over his shoulder. And the guy looks at him and goes, excuse me, are your parents home? He goes, the fuck do you think?
Much as having a bit of fun with Cammy, he once sent me when I was in my more destructive period. He once sent me a Calvin and Hobbes. He said that this is you, and it was Calvin is sitting hammering nails into
the coffee
table, and his mum runs in and goes, "What are you doing?" And he sort of looks up at her and goes, I think it's fairly obvious. And that, you know, that one. The other one is the New Year's one, where Rob says to him, any big plans for this year? And he's like, I think I'll just wing it and see where I end up. Yeah. And Cammy sent me that and went, that is you. That is so you.
So, okay. So speaking of Cammy and him doing one episode, then sodding off to Vegas, and we've kind of touched around things that just reminded me of this. What is the best instance of you seeing, or maybe you've done it yourself, someone leaving their job? And this is my favorite one. I had just started work at a friend of mine's company, and I'm going in, and they're just hiring up the bejesus of people. They're just like, you know, they need staff. So I'm in the orientation. We all have the same start dates, just right after Labor Day. We all start, everyone's fresh faced. We've got like 12 people in the boardroom. We're getting the orientation package and sign here. And this is where your paycheck's going to go and blah. We just need a void check and da, da, da. And everyone's getting the tour around. It's like, okay, everyone hold on to the rope. Okay. And we get assigned to our desk. And so there's a bit of a camaraderie already with the new people. We're like, okay, yeah, so this is our group. And there's one guy just kind of like, he was quiet the entire time and just like very like, yes, thank you, here's my security badge and the whole bit. And the guy went for lunch, and he left his security badge in the keyboard of his computer and never returned. That's my favorite guy. I think of him every day. I am like, where are you? What have you done with your life? I feel so unresolved with your backstory.
Years and years and years ago, I worked for a very small company. And the problem with small companies is if the owner is there, they take it all very personally, understandably. Because it's not just a business, it's a life. I learned after that when I would never work for a small business again, because it's too draining, you know, because the even in a big company, there is that sense of, well, you know, you can divorce yourself from it. And you just couldn't in here. But he hired this contractor to come in for a few weeks, who was, and this guy, you know, the staff were all kind of straight out of university, you know, early 20s. So he was in his kind of late 40s, early 50s. And there was that authority thing, you know, that authority figure thing, because he was the same age as all our dads. But he hired this contractor specialist who was a bit more experienced, and the guy just, you know, wasn't going to take it. He's bullshit, because this guy would be, you know, he was mostly all right, but occasionally he'd get the, you know, the screaming fits and stuff. So one day, he comes into the office and he was upset at something, and to one of the younger staff members he just exploded on, and he's giving this boy's, you know, done dogs abuse. And this older guy went, that's enough. Stop that. You can't talk to people like that. And he's like, what are you doing? I'll talk to you. This is my business. I'll talk to you however I want. And the guy went, no, you won't. You can, you know, I'm a one-to-one, but don't speak to people like that, especially not in front of others, right?
Yeah.
So next morning, we're all sitting there, you know, tense atmosphere. Now, next morning, and this guy's clearly been fuming about it overnight, comes in and says to the guy, again, in front of everyone, he said, look, I've thought about this. Don't want you here anymore. You're gonna go. And the guy went, fine, you need to pay me the length of the contract, though. And he said, no problem, but you're leaving. Come on, get your stuff. You're going just now. So the guy sits, you know, the contractor, picking up his stuff, putting it in a box kind of thing. And he turns around and he says to everyone, right, thanks very much, folks. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks, right? And he puts his box down and he starts kind of going around and shaking everybody. Or I'll see you again down the line kind of thing. And he starts shaking everybody's hand, right? And the boss guy, who clearly not liking being made to wait, goes over and puts his, just, you know, put, like, grabs his arm to sort of lead him out. And the guy turned round and fucking leathered him full on the face. And went, very calmly went, don't fucking touch me. And it was just, you know, one of the most shocking but best things I'd ever seen. Right, and inside I'm cheering it like an old firm goal, right? And
nice.
The boss is lying there on the floor, you know, totally humiliated, right? It was just a glorious moment, and a really big learning thing for me, that after that I was like, don't let people treat you like, you can only be, you know, you can only be a victim in a workplace if you consent to being a victim in a workplace. You know, you can just go and fuck this and walk out the door. And a couple of months later, I did, and I left, and, you know, best thing I ever did in terms of a workplace. But yeah, he just put his arm on him, and the guy, you know, in one movement just spun round right-handed and fucking belted him and smack right in the middle, right in the nose, and very calmly, didn't scream, just went, don't fucking touch me. Loved it.
That's the way to end that job. I now pray that your guy and my guy are the same guy. That's what I want.
Yeah, we can put another layer on this. It's actually Crazy Daniel too. So, I mean, yeah. We're going to merge three timelines together.
It was just, you know, and like I say, it was in terms of, you know, a lesson. It was, mm-hmm. you know, don't be treated like that. Just get up and go somewhere else. And it was spectacular.
The three timelines coming together, by the way, makes it a Seinfeld episode now.
I was hoping this show might be funny, but okay.
Yeah, more like Friends or something, right?
You slapped him in the face? I slapped him in the face. Really? Right in front of everyone. In front of everyone, Jerry. Okay.
And I still can't find my keys. Yeah.
Right.
Before we get to the questions, we did get a new supporter, Ian. Thank you, Ian. Longtime listener. I think going back to the original CrowPod. Even
hasn't he suffered enough?
I know. Oof. Dear God, fucking hell. Oof. Man, the nine and a half year, oh God. We threw a question up on last week, or I did, I don't know why I say we, I did. So if you get the show on Spotify, which I know quite a few of you do, I'm gonna try to start throwing a question up there and take the best one. But what would you add to the Castor / you know, Rangers line of merchandise? And Scott Henry wants a some sort of hate flag. So
yeah.
Nice.
Great idea.
Yeah. Oof.
The mind races, and so does the pending court date.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, that for overseas sales only, I think, is what that one is. That's
right.
That's gotta go to the US or Canada.
What we could do is take two things and meld them together so it confuses both sides of the argument. Like the hissing curled up snake about to bite, and then the caption is Big Jock New. Like, it just doesn't make sense to anyone except us, you know.
I would like to disassociate myself from the last statement from Todd. for any listening journalists, can I just point out it was him. You need to sue him in Canada.
I can't believe we're this far into the new year for our first disclaimer. That's well, all right.
There was one last week, but
there was one last week. Yeah. Shane trying to get me jailed, you know. It's
like, well, I mean,
heart attack. I'll give you a fucking heart attack.
We could have an FTP discussion here, knowing that Pope Benedict apparently only failed to act on 4 child abuse cases.
Right.
That's a big breaking.
By FTP, you mean file transfer protocol?
Yeah, no. Someone sent the copy of the report to me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. By that technology. Yes. No,
I don't. You know, I don't know if
again,
you.
Anyone listening, I am disassociate myself from any inference you may have that was in some way. You know, I haven't said anything. I am offended on your behalf, and I join with you in your offense if that in fact was the case.
It's going to be great. Like the people listening to this in heart and hand are going to wonder what the last minute and a half was. It was just beeped out. So
right.
Gone.
I don't know.
Like Havana syndrome. Nobody fucking knows.
There's some really nice belters on Twitter this week. I wanted to bring this up to you. There's a wonderful thread getting away from anything that's going to get us, you know, libelly sued, whatever. Someone posted this very simple tweet, which was the funniest tweet you've ever seen. And I sent in like the Blaine Kapatch 500 worst albums by Rolling Stone.
God, yes.
Just a fantastic thread. And yeah. Even reading that, I was just giggling. And then I found the other one, which was the one I send out every Christmas, which is Joseph, what a night. Mary, truly magical. And the baby's perfect. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Mary, Joseph, Mary. Joseph, is it me though, or was that kid with the drums Mary? Oh, super fucking weird. Yeah. But the best one I read, and I was reading them at night, and I was worried that my suppressing church laughter of just like heaving the bed would wake up my wife. And I'll see if I can remember this correctly. Is like, your chance to win a prize. Does the word heinous rhyme with anus or penis? Send your one word response to Pierce Morgan. Good luck.
So one of the all time great tweets, and thank him for resurrecting it, was Kevin Anderson's, you know, the pigeons sitting on the table at the fast food restaurant.
Yes.
Which thankfully he dug up yet again. Mm-hmm.
I think that one for me, and you know, my mind's gone totally blank here, and I wish I could go up better, but one that just sent me into paroxysms of giggles was last year when we won the league the day against St Mirren, and obviously mm-hmm. there was huge crowds outside the stadium before and after the game, and thousands of tweets, memorable tweets, but one guy might be listening to us, and if so, sir, I salute you. He had a picture of just a single balloon on Edmundston Drive, and he said getting quieter here now. Now just one balloon, possibly owned by Andy Firth. And it was just because I never saw that coming, possibly owned by Andy Firth. Just absolutely cemented me.
Oh, God. Fuck it. A couple questions. David Clapperton. So speaking of Castor and the Ranger story, says, is it easier to find a rocking horse's shit or a goddamn Ranger's bathrobe, preferably with a hood?
Yeah, I mean, it's an odd thing. I had a Ranger's bathrobe for many, many years as a kid. Like
I found a Ranger's like a bath mat on Amazon. So if anybody's looking for that, it's a decent. Right. It's only like $16, so you know, it's 12 pounds or something.
This is why I love this club. This is exactly why I love this club, because we are no strangers to venting spleen, and I just love how collective we get it. It's like, what the fuck were we on about in Aberdeen, and why was everyone so poor, and what about the refereeing, and where's my fucking bathrobe? Beautiful.
Oh, we are not a patient sort, right? I think that's fair to say.
No.
But you know, I mean, we're it's funny actually. See. You know, that see the crap that I will buy with an RFC put on it.
Yeah.
And I do obviously prefer to buy either from official or from kind of decent fans ones rather than, you know, kind of fly by night market ones. So Copeland Street were great. Yeah, the famous, that kind of thing. But the one thing I draw the fucking line at are NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
somebody said to me, David, have you bought any of the Rangers NFTs? I was like, no. And he's like, why not? Because why? Right? It's like, I sit down and I buy it and I don't get anything. Not literally, I don't get anything to have concrete. You know, you buy like a Rangers coin. The official Rangers coin come out, and you get this beautiful, cool-looking thing that will last forever that you can pass on. An NFT, you get a link, and that's not as much fun, as they might necessarily think.
That was, you know, at the weekend, because like the store had the free shipping to the U.S. back on, for orders over $60. So like I got that nice Castore hoodie, like the crew neck hoodie, but it's got the little pouch on it on the front. And then the orange training top. And I had a coupon. So I threw that on. That took me back below $60. So then I just got like the little 150th anniversary, you know, pin badge thing that comes in the nice little box and stuff.
Because, oh, yeah, I got that.
Why not? Yeah. You know, I mean, they'll look good. I can throw it on the stocking cap or something like that, and we're good to go, you know?
No, 100%. It's just one of these kind of situations. I was the same as you. When you said there's a sale on, I went, and they fucked us over. Now I think about it, because if it was free shipping over $60 to the US, it was free shipping over £60 in the UK. And I'm like, now I'm hearing that, I'm like, fuck off. But I got, like, you know, a training top, a gilet, a waterproof, and a t-shirt for like $40. And
well, then, see, that was, I want to get one of the gilets, but
to get over 60.
Yeah, I mean, another size. Well, and then I felt bad too, because I was going to get a buddy of mine over here the champion shirt, you know, the one with the stitching in the middle and whatnot. And I was looking Friday night, and they had a few sizes, and I was like, I'll get it tomorrow, because I want to look around and see what all I want, because, you know, whatever. So then when I get on Saturday, I get all my stuff, and then I go to get his, and the only size left was like 5XL. It's like, damn, he's slightly smaller than me. I'm not sure you know a muumuu would suffice, but
no. Well, I'm quite lucky in a way, and this is like one of fairly weird quirk, but I can fit, I prefer to buy stuff in large, right, but I can fit from a small to a large,
near
the Castore stuff. And I only discovered this when I accidentally, for some fucking reason, had ordered a small Anthem jacket, and it arrived, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, small. What was I thinking? Because it was my fault. They didn't send the wrong one. It was me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hang on, though. And I put it on, fit perfectly. So I can go in a sale and go, oh, I love that, and I love that, I love that.
It's well, a fuck you. Sizes. I can't.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get for being big.
Yeah. My wife got me the blue and orange training top. As I unwrapped it and I went, oh, this is sweet. And she's like, yes, I am really upset with Rangers Football Club. And I went, oh, I didn't realize you were a fan too. And, because apparently as soon as she bought it, it went on sale like 2 days later.
Yeah. So
like,
that is for sure. That happened to me the other week with, I bought a jacket, that went on sale a couple of weeks later, and there was a significant price difference. And it is annoying, but people that complain about it, I don't understand that. It was like, look, Shit happens.
Well, I mean, you know, it was great too, because after I did that, and I was sitting here later that night, and I remembered I had like a $40 Amazon gift card, so I hopped on, and the David Graham the kit book was down to like $37 with free shipping. So I was like,
excellent.
Yeah, I'll do that.
That's a fantastic buy.
Yeah, so hopefully that should be here this weekend. Quite looking forward to it.
No, that book is really excellent. And for the person who takes me up in my offer to sort my strips, you now have a guide as well to show you. All good.
Oh, man. David Scott wants to know, have you two congratulated me on managing to upstage Sunday Brunchgate last week?
Yes.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Still alive. God damn it.
Yeah, that's not the sentence that you want. That's not you don't wake up every morning and go, oh, this again. No.
God. Well, I went back to work kind of on light duty, which pretty much means I just sit there and, you know, read on my tablet or whatever, you know. So like Monday, I'm there. I swear to fuck, right? I'm there, like 20 minutes I'm there. And this guy and a woman, you know, like they're playing the slot machine, you know, the gambling machines.
Yeah, yeah.
Both a little bit too drunk. He gets up, you know, they're fighting. He starts walking out. And she, clearly being a bartender, goes, go pay your fucking tab. And he keeps walking out. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, hey! I just had a heart attack. I'm not fucking kicking your ass. Get the fuck out of here. He's like, oh, sorry. I thought I paid it. I was like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Just pay your fucking tab. Leave me. God damn it. But then I just went and sat in the office for 5 hours and read. So
there you go.
Peter Ewart, our good old friend. Hi, Peter. Came in with the big question of the week here, which I completely forgot to think about. So hopefully one of you two did. You can blow the whistle in any football match ever after 89.5 minutes. How are you changing history?
That one we discussed last week, I think, when we lost at Parkhead Vinegar to Hesslink with the header.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the one I would change.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would wipe out Scott McDonald's second just so they felt even worse about losing. How's that?
That is very amusing. Yes, I like that one.
Right. The entire season where we couldn't get promoted from the championship.
Yeah, just blow that the last game of the previous season.
Yeah,
say that.
Yeah. I remember in the days of We Are the People podcast being laughed at for saying we're not going automatically up. We're going to stumble somewhere. Ah, shut up, Van Allen, yeah. Side back, whatever. And
speaking of Sterling Alien and the winner, that was the match where people apparently found out how much of a realist, nihilist asshole I can be, because mm-hmm. I still remember that the draw, and it was a blizzard here.
Yep.
It snowed about 18 inches that day. And I was stuck inside watching that. And it was the first time on the old Crow website that we did like live match, commentary, whatever thing,
right.
You
right.
know, yeah. like updating the, it was me and Alan
minute
Clark.
By minute.
Yeah, yeah. Minute by minute report. And it was me and Alan Clark. And about 30 minutes into it, I remember sending Alan like a DM, like, this is going to end very poorly. There's going to be a lot of people very mad at me in about 70 minutes time, because uh-huh. I can see where this is going.
Ugh. This is it. I've always wanted to tell you this, though, that see, back in the day, listening to the We Are the People podcast, mm-hmm. I never realized you had a beard. You just
didn't back then. That's the thing.
You had your weird little Flavor Saver fucking hipster goatee thing, didn't you?
I had the goatee for a while. I was clean shaven for a while, then I was goatee, then I went clean shaven again, and then I went full
just beard. Didn't sound like a guy to me who had a beard, and mm-hmm. that's probably been the biggest thing I've discovered in the last 2 years.
See, and that's the kind of consistency beard. You get from me.
Yep.
Beard every day.
Yep.
20 fucking years.
Yep.
Quite right.
Andrew Muller McCoyst, OJ Meister 87, asks Kevin Clancy or Pol Pot.
Well, you quite liked my answer to this, because although it goes off at a tangent, when I was much, much younger, I was in a punk band that was called Pol Pot Noodle.
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But that was probably the best thing about us, unfortunately. was in fact the name.
Those names. Okay, so punk band, like punk band, fun punk band names, trivia night team names, and drag queen names are the three greatest things on the planet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And picture your sister-in-law having a shit on a t-shirt. That's always that's always hilarious. People love that.
Honest to God, man. Don't just honestly. Oh.
Yeah. I'll say this about Pol Pot versus Clancy. Pol Pot was actually good at his job.
That's true. Pol Pot was, you know, so. You can't deny that he achieved a level of success.
Yes. But, he met his KPMs every single year.
He certainly did. There was,
is that kills per million? Is that what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a very, I mean, pleasant individual, I think it's fair to say, was old Paul. But kind of forgotten, really, isn't it? It's kind of weird one of all the, you know, horrible genocides. That's not one that gets brought up much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next week on the Crowbot Horrible right. Genocide.
That reminds me of a great Dana Gould joke where he's talking, because the Beatles documentary is everywhere right now. It just reminds me of this bit that he does where so when people describe someone as the Beatles of something,
yeah,
right, like it's like it is the it's like, oh my god, like I don't know, Chrysler's like the Beatles of, you know, speed cars. It's a horrible example, but like that, he goes like, you can't, there's really not a lot of things you can use that for. It's like the killing fields of Cambodia, the Beatles of human suffering.
Well, you know, to be fair, who was the cunt that the charlatans hired from, he'd been at Liverpool to do PR for us for about 2 weeks. And he was the one, when he was working at Liverpool, compared their supporters to the Khmer Rouge, which know,
a bit over the top. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, red, I guess, right? Rouge,
sure.
Red, you know.
The other one is compared to like saying the new something, and there's a brilliant Loudon Wainwright song called the new Bob Dylan's.
Yes,
and it's about how him and Steve Forbert and Ryan Adams all get together at Bruce Springsteen's house. And one of the lines in it just cracks me up. He's like, Bruce done quite well for himself. He's got a really nice pad these days.
This is pre-selling his catalog for $700 bazillion or whatever it is.
He's done all right at that, honey. But Loudon Wainwright hasn't sold his. But I always liked Loudon Wainwright because I hate the music of his son. Quite like his daughter, Martha. She's very talented. But I'm a big Loudon fan. Don't like Rufus. Don't like his music.
Yeah, I saw Loudon in Knoxville a couple of times. He's
a brilliant performer. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And so funny and wry and can be quite affecting as well. But anyway, he was asked about the fact that his kids keep writing songs about what a dick he is, right? including one by Martha called Bloody Motherfucking Asshole, which is about that. Yep. And he said, Rufus and I don't really get on. He said, you know, I love him, he's my son. But he said, I like sports and beer, and he likes men. So I think, you know, that you can, that's not getting solved anytime soon, is it?
Oh, let's wrap it up. David, you before I get to mine, you've got an onion, I do believe, here.
Yes, I do, Shane. Let me look it up, though, because I completely forgot.
Okay, fuck it. I'll do mine. Well, I'm going to throw this one out again because it's come up again that Geo Media, the company that owns the Onion, is again trying to union bust and drove out these 7 employees of the great AV Club blog that were stationed here in Chicago because they wanted them to move to L.A., but didn't want to give them any kind of moving expenses, which, anyway, fuck Geo Media. This is why I've gone for a classic Onion story here from 2003. Traveler Excited Hotel has HBO until he checks listing. Dateline, Rockford, Illinois. Stopping at a local Days Inn Tuesday, traveler Dan Peterson was delighted to discover that the motel featured the premium channel HBO until he checked the night's programming listings. Quote, aw, man, not Summer Catch. It's back-to-back episodes of Tracy Takes On at 11, followed by The Mexican at midnight, Ghosts of Mars at 2 a.m. Fuck. Peterson spent the evening reading the room's complimentary copy of See Rockford and sucking on ice cubes.
I wanted to bring you one from the Onion Gamers Network, which is the gaming part of the website. Games bring people together. We don't have any specific story right now that proves this point, but we wanted to express a general sentiment. And also, hey gamers, we know we can sometimes be a little one note about gaming, so if you ever want to talk about something else like baking or whatever, just know we're down. And that's the headline, that's not the story.
If we're going to go throwback to pre-union busting times, I am going to, I may have done this one before, but it's the best, it's not just the best headline, it's the
if you're going to do the Washington one, don't do it.
Because
we're already in enough trouble. It really is,
It's the best one.
You can go and look it up.
Okay, everyone, just Google the Onion Redskins. That's all you need to do. Just Google that.
It's the best joke. It's perfect, but why are you trying to get me in prison?
Well, I mean, there's also, of course, the classic 1998. Why do all these homosexuals keep sucking my cock?
Exactly.
The line in that I absolutely love is a thousand things go through your mind when your cock's being sucked by a homosexual, such as, why is this guy sucking my cock? Where does he get the idea he's allowed to do that? And where did he get those great boots?
So if we can't have that one, FDR's fireside chat last night, just a stream of cuss words. While millions of families gathered around their radios, rapt attention for their leader's reassuring words during a time of great hardship for the nation, the president cleared his throat, then said in familiar, soothing, Harvard-educated drawl, my fellow Americans. After the customary opening, the people of the nation huddled even closer to their radio receivers to hear every nuance of the president's tidbits of fatherly wisdom, recent policy actions which would bring the depression to a swift end, and his positive-minded thoughts about recovery. Roosevelt then spoke again. Cocksucker, motherfucker, fart-fucking, tit-licking, Christ-humping fucker, the president said. He went on, adding shit, bullshit, and horseshit. A good goddamn cunt-licking, asshole-sucking, tit-fucking piss-shitter.
Piss-shitter's always the one.
He continued to swear, making no attempt to connect the obscenities to any larger theme or even explain to what or whom the curses were directed. He spoke for nearly 30 minutes and then before falling silent. There you go.
Oh, God.
Since I can't do the other one.
Yep.
Again, I'll do Washington, fucking shit pisser. Happy David.
The Onion.
Thank there you.
Oh, that will do it for all the fun stuff. Again, if you want to support the show, just click on the link there. Todd, you can find all his stuff at heyitstba.com. Find him on Twitter at heyitstba. What do you got coming up, buddy?
Next week, Friday, January 28th, 9 p.m. at unknowncomedyclub.com. The next write-em-up I host at 5 Comics. Come to your screen, tell you jokes while I got writers writing roast jokes about everything they do, and then I read out the roast verbatim.
So you can go to one of Todd's shows on your couch.
Don't leave the house, because if you're in Ontario, you fucking can't.
Yeah.
So
Doug Ford will come around and shovel you out, so exactly, you really don't want to leave the house anyway. David, of course, you can find everything Heart and Hand on Twitter, Ibrox Rocks. I listened to you and Martin, the first episode of the, what is it?
The Alfredo Morales?
The Soonest Era thing.
Oh, the Soonest Era. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Martin's doing a massive project, basically. He's writing
Is he writing a book by chance?
I thought I might have heard that. He never talks about it, but no. he's writing a book that will be due for publication early 2023 about Rangers from 1986 through to 1998, the Souness and Smith eras, and he's doing a podcast. And what he's done, I think quite interestingly on the show, is he's got together people of different ages. So he's got myself, who was, experienced it as a child, and Andy McGowan, who's the same, and he's got a couple of older bears to give the perspective of what was it like if you were in, as a teenager going to games and getting this, what was it like if you were an older bear who'd lived through some really bad times, before it. So you get, I think, different, rather than just the same perspective, you've got four or five, and his perspective was quite a small child, so you've got the four or five different views on the same thing, and I think that can be quite illuminating.
That creaking noise that you hear in the background right now is about the Soonest Era section of that book is the sound of Ross Hendry getting rock hard. So.
Oh, man. God damn it. So, you know, speaking of Ross, we had some classic Crow Pod that popped up last week. If you want to go hear about where the obsession with horses on the show came from, or black stallions, as it were. Yes. God, Nutsu the pawnbroker. <It's>... Fucking hell. So yeah, you can find all that anchor.fm/CrowPod. You know where to find David and Todd stuff also. So that will do it. Sterling Albion Friday. And I think we're back. We'll be back Tuesday, right? We don't. Mm-hmm. What's the schedule next week? I haven't looked. I think we're just back on our normal Tuesday next week. I think so. Yeah.
We are.
Okay, yep. So short turnaround. We'll talk to you then. That's it. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.